יש, יש, יש.
יש לנו שיעור, אצלנו זה שיפור, ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב ואת המוח.
שיעור שכולו שמחה, עם משחקים, תיאטרון ושירה, והמורה שלנו מגלה רק לנו מה זאת אהבה.
יופי.
Great. So we are starting our lesson. The topic for our lesson is books of Kabbalah, Kabbalah books. What is so special about Kabbalah books? Let's start from basic questions. Girls, go first. Yes, please. That these books give us the surrounding light. Omit kit. Okay, what can you add? It corrects our soul. Okay, what else can you say? They have meaning and a message. Yes. They teach us. Yes, they teach us. What else? They give us advice for life. Wonderful. We have to learn from them. Yes. Kabbalists wrote them. Kabbalists wrote them. Yes. They awaken the point in the heart within us. Wonderful. The Kabbalists wrote them, and these are things that they already went through, and that's why we can take examples for our life from these books. Excellent. What else? What about the boys? No? Okay, girls. Okay, you're done. Now, what is the main, the first book in Kabbalah? Shamati. Wow. Maybe it's the most you think that it's the most important one, but okay, but what is the first one? The Zohar. And you? The newspaper that Baal HaSulam wrote, Ha'uma. Oh, you guys can't really feel the length of time, the extent of time, because you can't feel what happened 1,000 years ago or 10 years ago. You don't feel the difference. Yes. Kabbalah for the students. Yes, okay. There's a small boy at the back. Maybe he knows the answer. I say the book of Zohar as well. Okay.
No.
Yes. Shlevei HaSulam. Oh, wow. You guys know all the books. But what was the first book of Kabbalah? From concealment to revelation? I have two things to say. The writings of the Rabash and the path of the Creator. No, but I'm talking about the first book that was ever written by a Kabbalist. The girl says, the book of creation, Sefer Yetzirah. That's what you think? Yes. And what do you think? I also think that it's the book of Zohar. Okay, and you did? The book of Zohar. At the back, Ichi, what do you think? Pass the microphone on to him quickly. He probably knows the answer. Talmud Aser Sfirot. Oh, you guys are just guessing. Come on, pass the microphone to the front now. The test again. Okay, what was the name of the first Kabbalist?
Abraham.
And before Abraham? Adam Arishon. So what did Adam write? What was the name of the book? Oh, you don't know.
Derech Hashem?
It was called The Path of the Creator? No. You get -2 points. See, one is because you don't know what the book is, and two is because you don't know what Adam HaRishon wrote. Adam HaRishon, Adam, wrote the book Raziel HaMalach. Raziel, the angel Raziel. Okay, so let's start from the bottom. Adam wrote the book, the angel Raziel. And after Adam HaRishon, who is the second Kabbalist? Abraham, our forefather. What did he write? What book? He wrote the book. The book of Zohar? No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
Come on. Come on, give her the microphone. She's falling asleep back there. Yes, sir. He wrote the book of creation. Sefer Yetzirah. Yes, okay. And sometimes we write it in Hebrew shortly like this. After Abraham, what book do we have and who wrote it? Yitzchak, Isaac, or who? Moses? Okay, great. Moses. What did Moses write? He wrote the Torah, the book of Torah. Okay, and after Moses, there are lots of books after Moses, and lots of the Sanhedrin wrote it. We had the Mishnah, we had the Talmud, and the Bible in general. These Mishnah and Talmud are the same thing. Someone is asking, who wrote them? There are lots of people who wrote them, that's why I'm not writing them here, but these are books that are talking about the Creator, just like the book, the Torah. But they're just using a different kind of language. And this is why we take these books and put them in parentheses, because they're not really clear Kabbalistic books. But after these books, we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi, who wrote the huge book of Zohar. He wrote the book of Zohar. And in Hebrew, you can write it in a short way as well, or you can even call it the book. People call it the book. And Rashbi wrote this. After Rashbi, we have lots of different Kabbalists who wrote a lot of different books. And what are you saying? We have Rashi, lots of different Kabbalists as well. The Ari, we have the Holy Ari. Do you know what the meaning of the Ari mean? The letters Aleph, Ashkenazi, Resh Rabbi, and then Yud Yitzchak in Hebrew. That's his name. What did he write? Rav is asking. He wrote lots of books. We have the Eight Gates, a book that's called Shmona Sha'arim, and the main book that he has is The Tree of Life. And there are lots of other books, but the main books are The Eight Gates and The Tree of Life. After the Ari, we had lots of other Kabbalists. Can you remember some of them? Because they're saying Baal HaSulam, but between Baal HaSulam and Ari, the Rabash, no, Rabash is after. The prophet from Vilna, the Rashash, the Ramak. The Ramak came before the Ari. More. Can you tell me more? The Rambam, but he came a long time before the Ari. Okay, so let's just put dots here because there were lots of different Kabbalists here. And after them, we had Baal HaSulam, who was great. Let's write it like this. And his main book was the Tas, Talmud Eser Sefirot. And what else? Shamati. Everyone is saying Shamati. And what else? Pri Chacham. Kabbalah Lamatchil. The Kabbalah for the student is actually a collection of things that he wrote. So he wrote lots of different books and also lots of different articles. And after Baal HaSulam, who do we have? We have the Rabash. And the Rabash wrote the writings of Rabash, let's call them that. And in there are lots of different articles. So we see that there are lots of books in Kabbalah. And now the question is, what is the most important book in Kabbalah? Yes. Give him the microphone.
Shamati.
Shamati. You think that Shamati is the most important book. Okay, so let's highlight Shamati over here. What do you think? The Book of Zohar, she says. Okay, excellent. That's more correct. More. Are there lots of other choices? Tas, Talmud Asar Sfirot. Ooh, he's smart. Okay, and your neighbor, what does he think? You said something that's called Kash. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you're saying. I think that none of the books is the most important one, because if even one book would be missing, then lots of information would be missing. So that's why I think all the books are equal. Oh, you're saying that if we were satisfied with one book, then we wouldn't have to write other books. And because there are different books, that's why each book is important on something else. What do you think? The writings of the Rabash and you, I think that it's Raziel the angel, because it's the first book. Yeah, and what do you think? I think the same thing. Okay, Moshe, what do you think? Give him the microphone to the back and the boy on the way. Say what you wanted to say. The Book of Zohar. Okay, and Moshe, the back. All the books are the same. They are just written in different language, because they were all written by Kabbalists that went through this way. But you said that the Tas, the Talmud Asar Sfirot, is the book that's more important to our generation. Oh, excellent. And what do you think? Yes, I also think Tas as well, Talmud Asar Sfirot. Rav says there are books that are important and there are books that are important for our generation. What is the difference? Yes, the girl over there. The difference is that in other generations, the correction of the world was different than the correction that we have right now. For example, during the time of the Bible, people were closer to nature and to the Creator, and now we're completely disconnected to it. Oh, and you're saying that because of that, we have a correction that is a lot tougher, and that's why we need books that are stronger. Wow, excellent answer. Boys, did you hear what she said? Girls know what they're talking about. Okay, so for our generation, the books that we need are special books, meaning because each book is different from the one before it, then this is why we need to write books that are especially for it. But what is how is one generation different from another? More answers, Baruch. They're different because in every generation, the ego is developing, and the way we have to give Kabbalah is different. How is it different? It is simpler. It's closer to the people. Okay, and what do you think? In each generation, people are more aware or less aware of Kabbalah and the Creator. That's right. Ichi, give him the microphone. And girls, what do you want to add? I want to say that there is more information for the nation in these books. Okay, what do you want to say? That, for example, during the generation of Abraham, you could reach Gemar Tikkun, the final correction, on your own. And in our time, we have to be in a group. Wow, what an excellent answer. No one answered like that. Good for you. In previous generations, up until our generation, meaning from Adam HaRishon to Abraham, there were lots of Kabbalists. What do you think? Were there lots of Kabbalists? Yes, no? How many? How many generations of Kabbalists did we have from Adam to Abraham? How many generations?
No.
I have a question. No. I'm asking for the number. I'm asking a question. Yes. 20 generations. Okay, excellent. 20 generations from Adam to Abraham. And what was the 10th generation? In this time, what was his name? Noah. That's right. Excellent. And then we had Abraham. And what did Abraham want to do? You just told me. He wanted to attain the wisdom of Kabbalah. No. Except that the boy over there, he wanted to develop the method of Kabbalah. Okay. Yes. He wanted to teach those who didn't believe in Noah, and when he built a boat, he wanted to teach them Kabbalah. The Rav says he wanted to teach everyone. Why? How was it possible? Because they were all egoists. During the time of Noah, it was just like Babylon. No. During the time of Abraham, it was like Babylon. Okay. So during the time of Noah, everyone thought about themselves. And when he built the boat, everyone laughed at him, and they didn't believe that that the Creator is going to ruin this world. Abraham wanted to create Gemara Tikkun. He wanted to attain the final correction. He wanted everyone to reveal the Creator. He wanted everyone to be as one unit, one cell. So he wanted to create the final correction during his times in Babylon. And it didn't go so well for him, and that's why we continued with the development of Kabbalah up until our generation where we are again in the same situation, when we are all together, and again now we want to create the final correction, the mountain. So we're going back to the same time of Abraham, but the book is different. Abraham wrote the book of creation, Sefer Yetzirah, and he explained everything to everyone. And we are using the books of Rabash and Baal HaSulam to explain things to everyone. These are the books for Gemar Tikkun, for final correction for us. Excellent. Okay, good. On top of books, do you have to add something to the book to reach Gemar Tikkun, to reach the final correction? Now, let's go to something else. We are going to go to looking at how to use the books of Kabbalah. Using the books of Kabbalah. What do we want to get from the books of Kabbalah? What does the book give me? Give him the microphone. He answered wrongly, but maybe now he wants something. We can use them to study, but I can study from any other book. It gives us the surrounding light, Omikif, and the power to unite with our friends. That's right, it gives us Omikif. Yes, please, it gives us the correction of the ego. Yes, the girl at the back. For example, if we're reading something and we can't understand it, it's that our body doesn't understand it, but our heart understands it. That's right. It's something even deeper than that. It gives us Omikif, surrounding light, and it can develop the point in the heart, and it gives us more understanding. Okay. The main thing that we get from the books of Kabbalah, it gives us Or Makif, surrounding light, or how else can we call it? It's called the light that brings back to correction, that brings us back to the correction. What does it mean, back to the correction? That it's the light that brings us back to the Creator. And why does the Creator called Mutav in Hebrew, back to the correction? Because He is good and He does good. Okay, excellent. So this is what's within the book. But then how does the book acts upon me in a way where I get Olmekiv, the surrounding light? You know, these books were sold in all stores, and everyone read these books, and no one would understand what did it say inside. So that means that we also need the conditions under which we can take this force out of the book with which the person is corrected. What else do we need? We need the desire to understand. That's true as well. Yes. We need intention. Intention, what kind of intention? We need the chisaron, the lacking. Okay, so I need, on top of the book that I have in front of me, I also need chisaron, lacking. Lacking for what? Yes. A lacking for the study, for the desire. First, you have to want to understand. Okay, the lacking, the desire to understand. What else do you guys think? The point in the heart. Yes, we have to have the point in the heart. But what other lacking do I have? You need to have a strive, because one time I wanted to watch a show, and I was saying, and they told me, you know what? No, develop a desire for it, a liking for it, and then you'll watch it. So that means that when do we come to the books of Kabbalah? When do we use them? When there is a strive for it, a desire, a liking. A liking for what? What does the book give us? It gives us the surrounding light, Olmekiv. And what does the Olmekiv do? It corrects the soul. Okay, and if I want to, so then it means that if I want to correct the soul, then I'm going to open the book. And if I don't need to correct myself, then I don't need to open this book. So this means that the books of Kabbalah are intended for who? Yes. Come on. For those who are not corrected. For those who feel that they're not corrected. Maybe everyone isn't. We're all not corrected, but it's intended for those who feel that they're not corrected. So we have a lacking for attaining correction. Okay, so that's the main thing. Okay? So according to this desire to come to correction, to correct our ego, then the person studies the wisdom of Kabbalah and receives correction. Now the question, what if I don't want to? What if I don't feel like it? What am I supposed to do? Do you have a solution for this? Yes. Those that won't reach Gemar Tikkun in this incarnation, they will reach it in another one. So you're saying, okay, so let's wait until we want this, and then we reach Gemar Tikkun, the final correction. And if you don't want to, then I'm not gonna, then you're not gonna study. Is that what you think? What do you think? Especially if you don't want to study, then you can go to this website if you have a computer, and then you can find out if you can join the courses. You know what? Shortly, if you have a book at home, you should try to open it, and then that way you will build your lacking. What she's saying is that we should start studying, even if we don't really want to, and then from studying, this lacking will come to you. That's true as well, but there's something else. Anyway, we will all become corrected, but the Kabbalah is an easier way. If they're not going to want to do it through the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's going to be more difficult to them, and they'll suffer more. Rav says, maybe. Give the microphone to Yechi. If that's he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to do it. There's no force. There's no forcing in spirituality. That's right. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. There's no coercion in spirituality. I think that the influence of the environment will push him. Oh, and you wanted to say the same thing? That is right. So that means that to develop a lacking, I need an environment. Or a group. We know that we hear suddenly these people talking and that people are talking. They're saying lots of different things, and then we want the same thing they're talking about. That's how things happen outside, right? In school and on the street, a person is influenced by his society. And that's why if I enter an environment where people want to reveal their ego, they want to correct themselves, they want to reach the Gmar Tikkun, final correction, then I'm influenced by the environment. Even if I didn't want to do it before, suddenly I'm listening to this, I'm hearing this, and suddenly I want to do it. So the lacking, the chisaon, comes from the environment. And what else do I need? Yes.
Rav.
I need a Rav. That's right as well. What else?
Rav,
need the Rav, teacher, books, and group. That's right. What else? Why do I need the Rav? Why do I need the teacher? If everything is written in the books, because... I can't hear you, because if you don't understand something, he can explain it to me like a teacher. I didn't understand what you said. When I can't understand something, then I can ask. Okay. Yes, you. He's like a leader, a teacher for the way, the path, an instructor for the path. Okay, you over there. When we're asking questions, you can answer them. Okay, and you? The books are written in a language of Kabbalists, and it's hard to understand it. Oh, so the Rav is also an instructor and someone who explains. What else? Baruch? The Rav is someone who went through, someone who has experience, so he can tell us about it. Okay, what else? And it's also not that I just go to the store and I see some book of Kabbalah and I buy it. You need something, and maybe Rav can explain to me about it. Oh, so the Rav helps me understand the books and understand which books I should choose. Instead of the empty ones, I should the ones that are full of something. Rav is someone who doesn't have an ego, and he is someone that's not going to try to show that I'm the smartest one and try to overcome everyone. Okay, so you're saying that Rav has to be someone who will not try to use his ego to control everyone. But how do we know this? Don't I control you? I yell at you and I tell you, do this and do that, right? So don't I use my ego? Or not? Can you tell me? The Rav doesn't have an ego. See, the tiniest one and the smartest one. Great, thank you very much. You yell at us so that we study, just like the Creator gives us beatings. He doesn't do it on purpose. He does it so that we can learn something about life from it. That way you'll get all the beatings from me. Okay, please. You do things like the Creator. Just like the Creator does everything for our benefit. You're not yelling at us because you want to. You're yelling at us so that we can learn from it. Okay, give the microphone to Baruch. What does he want to add? In this world, there's no situation that someone doesn't have an ego. You said that a person that reaches spirituality, his ego starts to develop. And especially when you go on this path, the ego starts to control you. Excellent. And now the girls. Yes. Even though the Rav's ego starts to grow because he's already in spirituality, he can overcome his ego, and he explains this method to us. Okay, so he has experience, and he explains the method. Explains the method. Okay. So now we have the teacher, Rav, the group, and the books. Excellent. And one does not exist without the other. Okay, fine. Now, how do we learn from the books? Do we just open the book and read it? No. So what do we do? Yes, please. We invite our friends over, and then we read with them, and we explain things to each other so that we can understand and educate ourselves from the book. Okay. How else? For example, there's a sheet that we get for Shabbat. Then we play, but before we start playing again, we give each other hugs and we unite and read something. Excellent. So it's not that we are just studying. We have to feel that we are studying in a group together. Yes? That we are sitting together and studying. It's not that every one individual is listening to the Rav. First of all, we have to organize ourselves into a group. And this group will study from the same book. And through this book, we're trying to reach Gmar Tikkun, the final correction. And then the Rav directs how we can reach Gmar Tikkun through the Kutsa, through the group, using the book. And from the Rav, we get instructions. And from the books, we get Omakif, the surrounding light. But this is only if we are in a group. And what happens if we're not in a group? Yes.
No.
I forgot. Boys. Then, if you're not in a group, then there's no Rav and there are no books. Then, even if there is a Rav and there are books, but if you're not in the group, then it's as if there's no Rav and there are no books, because the surrounding light, Om Makif, only comes if we are together. Yes. We have children from Vienna, Peter, and from Israel, and Shelly from Israel is telling us that she really, really loves us, and that this is a very deep lesson. And Adam from Moscow is asking, can I write a book on Kabbalah? Of course, when he's going to be big, when he's going to be a human, he'll be able to write a book. Is Toronto with us? Sure. I got a letter from Toronto that children that went back from their congress, they started feeling that suddenly they are in different states, good states, bad states. They started fighting with each other, then they started uniting with each other, and now they're asking what to do. How can they overcome all these different states? Do you guys have some kind of advice for them? Yes? That even if they're not here, they should think that they are with us. And even if they're over there and they're not close to us, they can be connected to us from there. Great. How? quickly. They should remember the Congress for just one moment, how much fun it was for them here, and they should think about how they can improve themselves and how can they help others so that really they will be in the final correction because the Congress is over. Pass the microphone on. They should think and they should say in their heart that right now the ego is taking over me, and that I can't do that. That shouldn't happen, because if that happens, that I'm fall down from the connection. I fall downward. Excellent. Now you, they have to understand that this is just, that is, this is simply a descent, a fall after our strong unity at the Congress, and they have to overcome it. As soon as they understand that it's a fall, a descent, they'll be able to overcome it. They have to think about the goal, and then they won't have any problems. Yes, but how can they not forget about the goal when they're so far away from us? For now here. It is a connection in our hearts and in thought. And if it's really important for them, and if they really know this, and if they're really in it, then this will be with them at every place. This new girl at the back, in the middle, for now you, they should write something in the diary or something so that they remember things and remember our goal. But maybe it will be good for you to call them. Adia said, it's hard to remember such a thing. So what do we do still? Rav is asking. It's not talk into the microphone. It's not hard. It's not hard to remember such a wonderful thing that happened.
It's not hard to remember such a thing, such a great thing that happens.
Great. It's true, but still, it's hard. She said that it's. I'm asking you. Do you want to say something? Hold on. I just want to ask you. Why can't we remember this? What happens to us that we can't remember? Maybe there's someone here who's new who wants to say something? It's a matter of unity and inspiration because everyone worked together to do this. But why is it hard to remember this? Yes, the girl over there? Because sometimes we think about other things. Okay. And the girl beside you? Because we have the ego that overcomes, rules us, and we start to fall after the ego, and we think about other things. Wonderful. See, you should be jealous of how the girls answer. Wonderful. Yes. We forget to follow a structure, a framework. Excellent. But what if some child is somewhere far away in some country and he's forgetting it and he doesn't have anyone beside him who will remind him? We have to send them things like text messages or emails or something all the time so that he will feel that we are with them. Tal from Ben Sheva is asking, how do I know which Rav to choose? A big Rav, or maybe someone who is beautiful or has a long beard. I don't know. How is she going to know which Rav to choose? It's a good question. Yes. You should choose by the way he teaches and if it works for you. What do you mean if it works for you? If the way he teaches is good for you, and if you understand and you understand things better. Okay, is that true or not? No. Okay, you. For example, let's say there are lots of rabbis around you who don't teach the wisdom of Kabbalah, And if she's studying right now, of course she'll be able to learn to choose a rabbi. It's not just like that. Rav says everyone knows something, but these kinds special Ravs teach about the wisdom of Kabbalah, and other Ravs teach about the Torah. There are lots of rabbis who say that they teach the wisdom of Kabbalah. There are lots of groups of Kabbalists in Israel, but you choose according to your desire. Yes, that's also called that. Okay, you beside him. It's a matter of feeling. If you feel that you are attracted to it, then that's the place. Yes. Baruch. If it talks to you, if it's close to you, if you see that this Rav is talking to you, it's really for you, then yes. If not, then there's no coercion in spirituality. Excellent. What do you think? It depends on what your purpose of... What do you want to get from this Rav? Because there are lots of rabbis who teach other wisdoms, and if you want to study the wisdom of Kabbalah and how to reach the final correction, Mount Tikkun, then you should be here. Okay, more. If the Rav tells you what you really want to know, then he's the right one. The heart will, our heart will direct us towards the Rav that is correct for you. Wow, look at how she started blossoming suddenly. And our guest?
If you feel like this is in your heart that you found the right person, then you should start going to that person and listening to them. And if not, then find somebody else.
Yes, so follow your heart. Everyone agrees with that. Yes. You want to ask a question. So, during the preparation to the lesson, you said that the point in the heart was everyone, but it's in Chinat De'afra. So it's just like a fan. But what I want to ask is just like ashes. So I want to ask you, is it that a person doesn't know that it exists within him, or can it be within a person that just chooses not to pay attention to the point in the heart? Oh, this is a very complicated question. Look, someone is even saying that they don't know what they're asking, what she's asking. Okay, first of all, what is Shechinta de Afa? It's Shechina. What is Shechina? Shechina is the greatness of the Creator, the relation of the Creator in Afa. What does Afa mean? It is something that I don't need. So it's a person that feels that he doesn't need the revelation of the Creator. He doesn't need the Creator. He doesn't need to come closer to the Creator or be similar to the Creator. That's what Shechinta De'afra is. But it's not simple. If you ask people, are you in Shechinta De'afra? He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Right? Yes. So a person that is advancing in this path and wants to reach the Creator, when the ego is rising in him little by little, during these moments where the ego is rising in him, he feels that he doesn't want the spirituality. He doesn't want the Creator. Then the state is called Shechinta De'afra. Shechinta De'afra, it is one of the states that Kabbalists go through. Those that are developing and those that are not developing don't even have this state. So is it only with a person that's studying and a person that doesn't know about it, it doesn't happen to him? Yes, those that are not studying, it says that they were created like beasts. It is specifically in those that are developing, they go through these stages of Shechinta De'afa when it agrees with the Creator and doesn't agree with the Creator. These are states of development, and don't be scared of them. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. The lesson is over. Write your questions down. This question is from the previous lesson. It's not from this lesson. So, the topic for next class. What do you think? Yell it out. The good world. The world of goodness. Oh, that's just the world of games. Gmar Tikkun, the final correction. Intention, Kavanah. Six senses. There aren't six senses, there are five senses. The group. Purim. The holiday of Purim. Purim. Okay. Purim according to Kabbalah. Get your answers ready. The more, the better. I'll tell you what is Aman and Mordechai and Tera and the different names. Esther, Harbuna, Vashti, Achashverosh. That's right. How many advisors? Were there all these things. I'll tell you what Mordechai was sitting, what that means, and how many states were within that country. Okay? And then... But you guys have to know the Megillah, the scroll of Esther. You have to know it very well. If you can, bring this book here with you. And now, a song!
שיעור, אצלנו זה שיפור, ללמוד ולפתוח את הלב ואת המוח.